Can you hear me doing that?
What were you doing?
I apologize to the people at home. I was trying to give a fake, like, beat bass.
Oh, no.
With the bass drum, just to fuck with people's audio.
I did not hear that.
All right.
That was very twatty of you, though. You cunning little turd. Oh, man, it is the end of the regular season. The start of the postseason. Or as Redskins fans call it, the end of the season. It is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show site is pfpod.com. Go there for every episode we've done because, you know, as we go into the postseason, who doesn't want to hear the news of week three in 2013's NFL campaign?
Hey, that week one coverage, Green Bay versus Seattle, that's going to be an evergreen soon.
There you go, exactly. Evergreen for one more week. the show's on the iTunes podcast app as well as Stitcher. Please subscribe using either of those. It's what gets the show noticed. We like seeing those numbers. They're trackable. They're entirely too small right now, untrackable. Make them bigger and trackable. But yeah, just look up PAPA apostrophe S football podcast. Papa's Football Podcast. All right. Well, in the league, it is Black Monday today. Like we always said, we record the show Monday, so we're able to recap all the Sunday crap, all the Thursday crap. The postseason has been set. You wanted to start with that. I think it is much, much more interesting to start with who got the boot. Let's play a music bed for this. There we go. Howard, who, what, in terms of the firings that have taken place, and we'll cover them all, who shocked you the most in terms of getting the boot so far? This is right now, Monday, 3:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the year of our Lord, 2014.
I'm not going to call it a surprise or a shock, but it's inexplicable that Jim Harbaugh was let go by the 49ers.
Thank you.
I think that it's just a symptom to me of problems in the higher-ups, that in choosing between the GM and the president or a coach who took you to three consecutive NFC championship games, including a trip to the Super Bowl, you're not going to take his side. Instead, you're going to take the side of the morons who can't seem to get along with him.
I couldn't agree more. This reminds me 100% of the firing. I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to be quoting my own tweets a lot because that's just what we sunk to. It reminds me of the firing of David Lee Roth from Van Halen.
At least they got Sammy Hagar. Who do you think the 49ers are going to find?
Not a dude who sells a Van Hagar-esque amount of albums. You're 100% right. The guy was a dong. I get it. He was hard as hell to get along with. And you know what? Sometimes that's life. I think when you're the GM of an NFL team, I'm going to bring this down. I can't stand a guy singing in Hungarian. It's creeping me out. When you're the GM of an NFL team, you're probably one of these larger-than-life type A assholes. And a guy that doesn't take your S probably drives you berserk. That's what I'm thinking. But you know what? Sometimes in life, you eat a little ass to get ahead. Sometimes you're with the chick you can't stand because she has tits like a young Anna Nicole. And that's just life. And you suck it up and you go with it. Three NFC championships in a row. That's like almost Bills at the start of the 90s.
Yeah.
Type-ish. And they're just waving goodbye to it. Like, they couldn't have waved goodbye to it faster. The guy wound up with, what, an 8-8 year?
And that team is going to be worse. I think they're going to just be on the decline going forward. I don't see them having a winning record next year if Colin Kaepernick's a quarterback again.
They wound up with an 8-8 year. I could be wrong on that, but I think it was 8-8.
It was 8-8, yeah.
It was 8-8. They fired him within the hour of that game concluding. It could not have been faster.
It was a mutual agreement. See, he was smart enough to go ahead and actually entertain the offer from University of Michigan before the final game. So he was able to walk into the office and be like, I knew you guys were going to fire me. I already got another job lined up, so how about I resign, and you call it what you will, too, and we'll just part.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the breakup was mutual. I'm sorry. This was them axing his ass. And I'm not saying he was happy to be there, and I'm not saying if he goes to University of Michigan, it isn't going to be much cushier. Aren't the terms pretty publicly known? He's going to get $8 million a year, which is like Belichick paychecks.
You have to look at more like Nick Saban, I think, with the college coaches. He's getting ridiculous money to be a college coach. Yeah,
he's getting absolute tier one money. And I think he was making $3 million a year with the 49ers.
Yeah, and I'll just, not that we have like blue chip college football recruits listening to our show, but in my mind,
only 7-12 maybe tops.
You got to play for Harbaugh over Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer just doesn't run an offense built for pro football. Whereas Nick Saban, he gets all the best recruits to Alabama because he was an NFL head coach. That's what Jim Harbaugh is now going to do at Michigan. He's going to bring a pro-style offense to college so that guys who want to play in the NFL can learn from Jim Harbaugh, who proved himself to be pretty damn good in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And that's the difference. Didn't Nick Saban come into the league and eat testicles?
He wasn't that bad. He wasn't good. He basically never got better than 9-7.
Yeah. But could have him, or you can have a dude who did three NFC championships in a row and a Super Bowl in the mix. A winnable Super Bowl.
I'll say this, though, with Nick Saban coaching at Miami. First thing he realized is, and I agree with him on this, I don't like the NFL salary cap. You just have a bunch of flawed teams fighting for a championship. And that's why you can see wildcard teams at this time of year compete for a title, because everybody has flaws. That's just the way the salary cap system works.
Well, wasn't his quote, "Why would I ever go back to the NFL? Here I have like 17 first-round picks a year. There I'd only get one."
Yeah, he always has one of the top five rosters in college football. And just by talent alone, he will always dominate as long as he wants to coach.
Yeah, so. He reminds me of like the U in the 80s and 90s, where it's just like, he was there too.
He
was there.
But he learned in the NFL. The thing he got from the NFL was how to treat players with respect who are that good. This is a little obscure, but he actually coached Ricky Williams in Miami. And that was at a time when Ricky came back after his whole, implosion. And he just came back to the Dolphins and was like, you know what I want to do? I want to be a black. I want to be a backup.
Ricky Williams. Please tell me you've watched that 30 for 30.
I haven't yet.
Run, Ricky, run.
I'm a little worried about watching it.
It should be called Ricky Williams Hates Condoms and Loves White Women. And it's great. I don't know. It's. In terms of, like, if you're a Ricky Williams fan, it's infinitely watchable. If you're just coming into it to watch it for the hell of it, it's one of the crappiest 30 for 30s.
Okay.
Because you feel for the guy. Like, he's pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
And, like, he was deeply wounded about his dad not being in the picture.
Right.
And the dude just comes inside, checks out, sends his kids a postcard every 6 months. Like, it's just so sad seeing a man repeat the sins of his father.
Yeah, I don't know if I can watch that, because he's one of the top three reasons why I went to the University of Texas.
Oh, God.
Because it was scholarship money. The classics department's one of the best in the country. Yes, I majored in classics in college. And number three, Ricky Williams had just won the Heisman, to give you a sense of how old I am. Those three things, I was like, I got to go there. I can afford it. They have good football and the perfect department for me to major in. So that was it. And that's why I don't want you to destroy my image of the greatest college football player ever.
Well, just watch that.
Anyway, getting back to Nick Saban's relationship with Ricky Williams. Ricky had imploded, came back to the Dolphins, so even though he went from being the rushing champ as a Dolphin to like being AWOL, they kept him because he's such a talented player. They asked him, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to be a backup. And I think Nick Saban's exposure to Ricky, being as talented as he was, and just hearing him talk about how mistreated he was when he was a primary back, has really made Nick Saban into a great coach. Because I heard him when Alabama beat LSU in that national title game a few years ago, that rematch of the century, whatever they called it, the national title game that basically gave us the new college football playoff. People asked him why he didn't run Trent Richardson more in that game. They felt like he should have just been pounding the ball play after play. And for Nick Saban, he just was adamant, even in a national title game, that he limits the number of carries that his guys get. Just because you're a pro prospect, you're going to make millions and millions upon millions at the next level. I'm not going to jeopardize that by making you run 50 times in a championship game.
He sounds very much not like John Voight in Varsity Blues.
So
man just didn't care.
I think Jim Harbaugh is going to bring some of that to Michigan as well. So screw the 49ers. I was a big fan of theirs back in the Bill Walsh days, but the successor to Bill Walsh was Jim Harbaugh, who also went from Stanford to the 49ers, and he's not getting that same respect that Bill Walsh did. So,
well, on to firings. 49ers still expected, right? Like, every firing thus far, I think, is at least semi-expected. The least expected, I would say, is Trestman getting the boot in Chicago.
I mean, there were whispers
about it, but then it kind of had cooled down. I guess there's no one to be shocked about. Trestman got the boot. Did their GM get the boot as
yeah.
well? Okay.
He deserved it. They both deserved
GM
it.
GM sucked. I hate that. I feel for coaches a lot more than I do GMs, man. Like, when a GM misfires, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Coach a bunch of Rudys in this league? No, it doesn't work that way.
And it's weird, too, because, what's his name? Holmgren. Holmgren became a GM a couple years ago and screwed the Browns.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely screwed the Browns. Yeah, nah, he's terrible.
Wasn't
you know,
he the guy that got both Whedon and Richardson? Weren't those, like, his last picks or something like that?
I can't... Yeah, yeah, so, like, they ended up having to undo the Richardson deal just because of, like, his attempt to hit a home run as he was starting to feel the crunch of, like, coming to the end of this...
Yeah, it's like, we missed out on RG3. We need to get on some offensive engine.
Yeah, no, he was a horrible GM, and he was a great coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, he coached in 3 Super Bowls, and yet, yeah.
So, the Bears are down their GM, down their coach, Sexy Rexy, out with the Jets, and thank God Idzik is gone with him. I effing hate that guy.
It'll be interesting to see if Geno Smith is back. That's what I'm curious about. He played pretty well on Sunday. He outplayed Ryan Tannehill.
He might be there one more season. I mean,
the question is, who will be competing with him in training camp? Will it be Mike Vick again?
Ugh.
I think they need to find a legitimate, like, God. Younger player, not Mike Vick.
Do you think it's going to be a Jay Gruden scenario where he brings in his piece of crap, his Colt McCoy, whoever the new Jets guy is, brings in his
He's got to.
Of Colt?
Whoever it is has to put somebody in there to compete with Geno. And, like, one of them has to turn into something better than what they had this year. I like Rex Ryan. I was actually disappointed. I saw an ESPN poll just now. Two in three NFL fans would not want Rex Ryan to be their football team's head coach.
Well, it's not so much the on-field stuff. It's everyone remembers Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks has not made a reputation for any coach like it made a reputation for Rex Ryan before or since. Like his famous, let's go get a goddamn snack speech or whatever the hell. I mean, everyone could still quote that 6 years later, man.
I like the guy. I'm sorry. I think he'd be a great coach.
He does seem to get guys to perform for him. Like he... And those last 2 years, the fact that they got any wins, that roster Idzik put together was horrible.
When has he ever had a good quarterback? I want to see Rex Ryan coach a team with an excellent quarterback. He's just never had that in New York. So just good luck to the rest of the league the day that Rex Ryan shows up in a situation where he's got an offense that can already run itself and he's just asked to fix the defense. That's going to be ridiculous for the rest of the league.
Yeah, you might be onto something there. Speaking of scenarios where the GM was left intact, but the coach is gone, Mike Smith in Atlanta.
We got to talk about that 34-3 beating.
That one was so fascinating to me because it really seemed like Atlanta has been onto something the last couple of weeks. And you're like, dude, they're playing at home. They're going to win this. And then they're going to host maybe like the Cards at home or the Lions. Those are both winnable. And then it's like, how do you fire a man who wins a playoff game? I don't see how you do. And instead, his team just takes the biggest runny dump right on his forehead.
I was expecting a fight. I figured, hey, Carolina, yeah, it's tough winning on the road, but they got a playoff berth at hand here, so they're going to go in. This is going to be like an excellent, rugged battle. No, over in the first half.
Oh, God, that game was just over as over gets.
I can't believe Arthur Blank wasn't just sitting there tweeting in real time.
He was just walking back and forth behind Mike Smith to make sure the guy wouldn't steal silverware on his way out. Oh, it was ghoulish. He was on the sideline just like, get out, like the Amityville house.
Yeah, that's why for me, like, we talk about Black Monday and the coaches who are fired, but for me, I wonder about these quarterbacks, these overpaid quarterbacks.
I was this close to making a Chink Tuesday joke.
But, I mean, what do you think about Matt Ryan? So, like, the Falcons, let's say they bring in Rex Ryan, all right? Let's bring Rex Ryan into the
Falcons. You brought that up before, yeah.
I mean, is Matt Ryan a good quarterback or not? He certainly gets paid like one.
He is. I don't think there's a ton of debate there. Is he, like, top four? No, but, Christ, I'd take him in Washington in a heartbeat.
He should have a winning record, right? Like, this is unacceptable in Atlanta. You have to, like, see him perform with a different coach who can actually put together a better plan.
Well, the problem is, they're on the Redskins' plan, where it's like, at the sexy positions on paper, they're decent. Like, they have Julio Jones, who's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, Ryan, pretty good.
Roddy White is a pretty dang good second receiver, man.
Yeah, and then you realize, like, their O-line is garbage. And that's it. And that's all it boils down to. Probably their entire season was lost on the fact that, like, not only was the O-line, because a lot of that depth was sacrificed acquiring Julio Jones. Like, what went into that trade again?
I can't remember.
Hold on.
I think they gave up every draft pick for Julio Jones. I think
it was close, too.
That was their only draft pick that year.
Oh, my God.
Still, like, to me, you can adjust your game plan to account for the fact that you don't have an offensive line. Point to the fact that the Rams...
Well, RG3 in 2012, I think, is a great example.
But
like,
he
was able to mask a horrific offensive line because he could roll out to the sides.
But short passing, I mean, play action, there are things you can do to slow it down. And they did beat the Saints twice this year. I don't think that there's any reason for the Falcons to have ended up with a losing record. That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to find out the goddamn...
But yeah, like with Tressman lost control of the Bears too.
It's such a shit show.
But the GM by far is when he needs to be fired for that Jay Cutler contract, because they're stuck with Cutler now.
No, I thought he was pretty fireable. Am I wrong on that? I thought
Cutler?
It was like they had 1 year of breathing room to give him the punt pretty fast, man.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what his cap number is going to be next year. Let's see. I got it right here, actually. It looks like, I mean, I guess the dead money might not be too bad next year. No, they have to. I'm sorry. They're stuck with him at least one more year for sure. They have to play him next year. I don't think they can get rid of Cutler in 2015. They can in 2016.
Okay, hold on. Let me tell you what the Falcons gave up for Julio Jones. I know I'm interrupting your flow. Like,
no, that's all. I'm just saying with Cutler, they're stuck at least one more year in Chicago with him.
Okay. Oh, God. No, they gave up more than you think, dude. So they swapped firsts with Cleveland. They went.
This is to get Julio Jones for the Falcons.
They went from 27th to 6th.
Okay.
So they gave up the 27th, the first pick. They gave up their second that year and their fourth that year. And then the next year they gave up first and fourth.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
He's a beast, though.
Wasn't Sammy Watkins just an extra first?
I mean, Julio Jones has looked much better than Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, but Odell Beckham Jr. just cost like a first, right? Wasn't he like the late first pick or something like that?
They didn't have to trade for it, right?
No, they just got the dude. Like, if you're the Bills and you're seeing what ODB is doing, you're like, I should be the first. Welcome to being a Skins fan, assholes. So we look at all the firsts we gave up for RG.
To be fair, the Bills don't have a whole lot of wide receivers. The Giants do. And now getting to the one team that we haven't talked about on Black Money, the real surprise today, Tom Coughlin's supposed to come back next year.
Oh, that didn't surprise me.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I'd fire his ass.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry. He gets one more year. That's what the rings buy you.
I'll put it this way. I would keep him if they would fire Eli Manning. Because that, to me, is the big problem in New York. It has nothing to do with Tom Coughlin. Well, I mean, there are things about Coughlin I don't like, but Eli Manning is just a perennial underachiever in the regular season. Never been a great quarterback. Can step up in clutch situations during the postseason. That's why he's got two rings. That's why he generates respect. But you're paying the man $20 million a year to be mediocre and just cross your fingers you get a wild card. It's unacceptable. I don't understand how he can get paid as much as he does for the kind of performance he's put together in the regular season throughout his career.
Well, not just that. It's asinine to assume that he's going to knock it out of the park anytime he does get a crack at the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, you eat ass for 16 games and then, really? Really? It's postseason and suddenly you're goddamn Joe Montana in his prime? No.
Yeah, no. Every time he's made the postseason outside of he's never won a postseason game outside of the 2 years he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Strange. He just completely strange record. But, I mean, that's why to me, like, throughout the season on this show, I've compared Manning and Roethlisberger, and I have to admit that Roethlisberger has proven himself worth the $19 million he made this year. He deserved every penny because his team just won the AFC North, the toughest division in football. So I have to give credit to Ben Roethlisberger. I used to say that he was just like Eli, where, you know, it was mostly about postseason performance, not really regular season performance, but
and he was surrounded by a strong team.
He had a year.
That was another similarity, but you're right.
Ben Roethlisberger, like, was tied with Drew Brees for the most passing yards this season. Like, he's definitely a finalist for MVP. I wouldn't give it to him. I'd give it to Aaron Rodgers. I'd give it to J.J. Watt before I'd give it to Ben Roethlisberger this year. But, nah, Roethlisberger had a great year, man.
Speaking of the Steelers, let's talk about the Sunday night game, which was for the AFC North.
AFC North in general is just the most interesting element in the NFL playoffs this year. So, yeah, let's...
AFC West kind of had a shot at doing that, and then the Chargers just... what they did with the Chiefs yesterday.
Listen, going into the season, it was pretty squared away that Denver, Indianapolis, and New England were going to win their divisions. And it hasn't really been interesting in any of those three divisions all season. So there was an outside shot that a couple teams from the East, a couple teams from the West might compete for the wild card. But here we are once again. We have three teams in the AFC North, two of which have won rings recently, are now back in the playoffs. So, yeah. Like, looking at Cincinnati, though, they're the outlier in the AFC North that had a chance to...
What the hell is making that noise? Sorry, there's some weird interference. Were you hearing that?
Yeah, that was definitely your phone. That was weird.
Horrible as hell. It never does that. Hey, would it shock you if Mike McCoy, their coach, got the boot, the Chargers?
I don't know. The Chargers are terrible. Can we talk about a real team?
All right, well, let's go back and finish up the AFC North. It was the battle of Pittsburgh against Cincinnati for the title. They were both in the postseason already, but it was determining not even who got a bye, right? It was just
home field for the wild card round. Exactly. And another divisional title. That's something you hang a banner for. Wild card bursts, like, if you're hanging a banner for that, you're the Bills, you're the Browns, you're like a horrible team.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah, no, you got to win your division to hang a banner. That's my opinion.
Well, What happened was Big Ben came to play and the rest of the Steelers came to play, and Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton did what Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton have been doing.
Yeah, and I got to say, like, looking at the AFC playoff picture in general, I mean, there are two quarterbacks in the AFC who are not like the others. Between Big Ben, Joe Cool, Peyton Manning, and what's a pretty boy? Tom Brady. Those four all have rings. Two of them have multiple rings.
Mm-hmm.
You got four Super Bowl winners right there. And then you have Andy Dalton coupled with Andrew Luck. Now, most people have Luck as projected as somebody who should win at least a ring, if not multiple rings. He's that talented, and I agree. But then we have Andy Dalton showing who he really was, I feel, on Sunday night.
Andy Dalton is the new Tony Romo. The orange is the new black.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton is now Tony Romo, except, no, he is exactly, I was going to say, except we all know how bad he is, but I think even Dallas fans on average hate Tony Romo, and I guarantee you Cincinnati fans show no love for Dalton.
I think Tony Romo isn't even Tony Romo this year. Like, he looks like he can win multiple playoff games right now.
Yeah, he's got the line from hell. He can sit back, dude, they were timing him, there was one Sunday night game like 5 weeks ago. When they were timing what he had in the pocket, it was like hitting 8 seconds at one point.
Yeah. And DeMarco Murray is the best running back in the league this year. That's just what it is.
You could roll a cigarette with 8 seconds and then throw a pass.
But yeah, he doesn't have to be the number one option right now. He does not have to be that because they have the best running back and the best offensive line in the league. He's got a nice setup. However, with Andy Dalton, can he even win a playoff game this year?
I think the last week of the gay hour, as I put it in my house, where 9 to 10, the DVR would shut off and only show the Kardashians or 90 Day Fiancé, because that's what my two brainiac family members are into. Not like I watch high art. I'm battling to watch football. Not like I want to see the symphony perform. But so yesterday I just watched the game in my room on an internet feed, which was legal. I'll just say that. You know, it's like me saying, I smoked crack legally, and everyone's like, what? Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that was a thing. And just during it, I was so livid watching Andy Dalton. Like, he wasted my time. Like, I knew he wouldn't come to play, and I knew he would lose. But I just got pissed watching him, and I just sat there and started tweeting. And, like, I don't really tweet anymore. I deleted the app from my phone and kind of reclaimed my life, if you will. But I was there on my computer, and I was just firing them out. I was going to read them because that's just easy content. The first one, Andy Dalton couldn't betray his teammates any more profoundly if he rounded up their wives and collectively impregnated them. This is all at Papa's Basement, by the way. I'll be live tweeting other games, I guess. I wish Oz were a real prison so Andy Dalton could serve time there and be made a prag by Schillinger. Calling a winner an Andy Dalton is like calling a black man the N-word. The women crying in those nomore.org commercials are crying because they're Bengals fans watching Andy Dalton play.
Oh, no.
Oh, Andy Dalton hates winning the big one more than Sir Ian McKellen hates vaginas. And at that point, I just got tired of it.
In his defense, they were Cincinnati had the ball in the fourth quarter late, and they were driving to at least tie the game when it was 20-17, I believe. And then it was AJ Green who fumbled the ball.
Yeah, I didn't watch it horribly closely. I heard AJ botch like not one but two different times. One of the picks was mostly his fault or something like that.
I'll say this. One of the biggest differences in the game was not just AJ fumbling in critical moments, but Antonio Brown showed that he has clearly surpassed. If there was any doubt before, because I'm a big AJ Green fan, but it's clear to me that Antonio Brown is he was definitely the best receiver this season. I'll say that. Whether he's the best receiver in the game right now is a different question, but he's definitely the best receiver this year. It was really impressive to see Antonio Brown dominate the way he did last night. So congratulations to him and the rest of his teammates on winning the division. Now the real question is, what's going to happen in the playoffs? And I got to tell you something, though. I do feel like Cincinnati's actually going to win a playoff game this year. I really do.
I would like to see it happen. Like I said, I've always had a weird fascination with them since I was a little kid, and you could get your ice cream in a football helmet at Baskin Robbins. And I was like, get me the Tiger helmet. That thing looks awesome. And it does. It's a great helmet compared to every other team's helmet.
Well, they got the best draw of the playoffs, in my opinion, because they're playing the Colts.
Yeah, Colts are uneven.
Well, I'll put it this way. The Colts swept their division, which basically means they were a 500 team when they played teams outside the AFC South. So I think anybody can beat that team. I'll be real.
I don't know if you can hold that against them, though. Isn't that like the story of the Patriots almost every year?
But they win outside their division, man.
They do, but a lot of times if they get, like you were saying, a 12-4, then yeah, they were 6-4 outside of their division. You make an interesting point. I'd never thought of it that way, mathematically.
Yeah, I have a problem with the Colts' offense. They can't run the ball, simply put, and the Bengals can. I really do think that this postseason is all about who can run the ball. Because if you look at the four teams that claim the top two spots in each conference, that means New England's hosting, Denver's hosting, Green Bay is hosting, and Seattle's hosting. These are northern teams. Seattle's the warmest of those four cities, okay? That's how crazy it is when you get into the second round of the playoffs. Like, these are going to be cold weather games, man. People need to run the ball if they're going to make the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, so you mean like the fantasy football that the regular season has become will just melt away?
And suddenly
it'll look like Sammy Baugh era leather helmets smoking at halftime.
I think you want a quarterback who could throw the ball. I mean, I was just looking at, Cam Newton has made the playoffs this year.
He has
not had the best of years passing. I don't have high hopes for the progress of the Panthers this playoffs. I don't know about you. Maybe you picked them for the Super Bowl.
Not so much. Not so much. But let's do... Do you want to do official picks?
Oh, for just... Well, where do you want to start? Do you want to go just balls to the wall? Let's like pick the Super Bowl off top.
No, I hate that. I hate that. Because then you're left looking like a horse's ass when you're like, oh, it's Seattle going all the way. And they were like a first, a divisional round upset or something weird like that.
Well, let's start with the AFC wildcard round. So you got Cincinnati playing Indy, and you got Baltimore going to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Who's coming out of these games?
By the way, I think that Ravens-Steelers game is the hardest to call. That one is a total coin flip.
Those teams are so uneven. Because it's great when they play each other, but even when they go up against the rest of the league, I have a hard time knowing when either of these teams is actually going to show up.
Okay, hold on. I'm writing down John's picks, Howard's picks.
I already told you mine
I'm
for the Bengals game.
I'm actually going to put these in the description. You know what? You're picking the Bengals. I'm going to go Colts just to be a contrarian. Howard picks Bengals.
Well, you also have no faith in Andy Dalton.
I have none. Yeah. And Marvin Lewis. Marvin Lewis just loves to lose, too. That's how he sexually functions.
But Chuck Pagano is the coach for the Colts. Do you think he really can call a good game?
Yeah. No, he got so much. This is going to sound evil. Ball cancer is the best thing. He had ball cancer, right?
I can't remember.
If that cancer in his nuts, let's just say, was the best thing that could have happened to him, because Bruce Arians came in and delivered him a hell of a season on a platter. And for some reason, they're like passing out Chuck Strong bracelets. Like his spirit is hanging around like goddamn Obi-Wans and Yodas, yeah. You know, all blue and shit in the locker room. The guy was just gone, getting cancer zapped out of his nuts. And Bruce Arians gets him like 7 wins out of 8 games or some crap. And Pagano comes back. They're like, yay, Chuck Pagano, you led us this whole time. I was like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Yeah, I don't see the Colts being able to win on the road in either Denver or New England. So
he is not Bruce Arians, and he got so much credit for that season. He's like, Bruce Arians is like the Mexican maid that actually raises some rich kid.
Yeah.
And then like the parents are his parents in name only, and he really cares about, you know, Esperanza.
That's who he views. We'll get to the Cardinals later. I feel bad for Bruce Arians and those guys.
Oh, God. Is there anything more depressing than the Cardinals this year? Is there anything more depressing? No. The answer is no. That panda at the Washington Zoo that was just hanging in a tree in a rain for a day and a half, Bow Bow or whatever the hell its name is, that was not nearly as depressing.
You know, there are two ways to look at it. You could look at it that, hey, they really got jobbed here at the end of the season, having to go to the third and fourth string quarterbacks, but on the bright side, they're playing a team with a losing record in the playoffs first round, so I don't really think they can complain all that much.
No, they're getting the biggest break possible, and they're still definitely losing.
Wow.
They are a lock to lose, I'm sorry.
I don't know about that. I think that's going to be a competitive, ugly game. I might not even watch it. It's such a poor game matchup.
In no way do I expect the Cardinals to advance. I'm sorry. They just they won't.
Let's talk NFC wildcard in a sec. Let's finish AFC. So you got in... You got Indy, I got Cincy.
Yeah, and then we were arguing Ravens, Steelers. I'll take the Steelers, I think.
I'm going to call it right now. I think the Ravens are going to take down the Steelers, and then they're going to take down New England. They're going to play in the AFC Championship game against Denver. I'm just going to say it right now.
Don't get me wrong. I want that to be the case because it's so hot when we have any sort of postseason action near us. And, like, Baltimore hates DC teams. DC people have no such qualms with Baltimore. Are you kidding me?
There's some Redskins fans, like, I see it on my feed sometimes, where people are talking about, the Redskins are the best. Why would you ever root for the Ravens?
Those are salty little twats. And they're
morons.
Delusional. Yeah.
All I gotta point out is, like, listen, the Ravens play next to the Inner Harbor. You watch the game, then you go get hammered. You just walk out of the stadium, and you go, and, like...
You walk into a beautiful city that admittedly might kill you, but it's great, and it's organic. You leave the goddamn... the Landover, Maryland stadium, not a D.C. stadium,
welcome
but Landover, Maryland.
Beltway traffic.
Not just that. You know what's walking distance from you? A dumb little walk-around strip mall thing. Like, oh, great. They have Chipotle, guys. Have you had Chipotle?
Oh, and the best is when you drive from Redskins Park to D.C. If you want to drive into D.C. after a Redskins game, you're on East Capitol.
25, 30 minutes outside of the city. Like, no joke. 20 minutes.
If you're lucky,
zero traffic, 20 minutes.
If you're lucky, you'll hit a stoplight and it'll be a guy from Nation of Islam offering you a paper.
Yeah.
As opposed to a bum asking you for change. I mean, that's East Capitol Street.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a bum who's going to take a wad of newspaper and urinate on it in front of you and then wipe your window with it and then stick out his hand.
So, where would I rather watch a football game? Yeah, that's right. Baltimore.
No, I'm with you 100%. The game day experience is night and day. I've been offered free Redskins tickets more times than I care to count, and nope.
Yeah.
If anyone gave me free Ravens tickets, my ass would be there.
Yeah, literally worth less than $10 a game this year. That's how the Redskins were. So.
All right, so you are picking the Ravens. I am picking the Steelers because I am a safe little pussy. I'm just picking the home team in all of these. That's all I ever do.
How about this? Let's just like stop at the two teams that play in the AFC Championship game. So who do you
Lions,
have?
Lions, Cowboys. We're both doing
You want to do that? You don't want to do the full AFC first?
No.
All right.
I'm just doing this week's slate of games.
All right, just this week's slate of games then.
No one can pick the Lions. No one can pick the Lions.
By the way, Sue is out. I mean, we're doing this. We're recording this before his appeal is heard. But without Sue, they've gone from having some chance to no chance. I just don't see. Yeah, Matthew Stafford, the interesting graphic from the game on Sunday against Green Bay was the fact that he's never won on the road against a team that has a winning record. Matthew Stafford is now 0-16 against teams with winning records when he plays on the road.
That's lovely. That's so reassuring.
Yeah. We'll see. At least the what works in the Lions' favor is they're playing at Jerry World. So it's going to be a nice offense-friendly environment to play. I just don't think they have good play calling. So I think it's going to be a blowout.
Blowout, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always said this. Caldwell on the sidelines is the dumbest looking son of a bitch there is in the league. He just, oh my God. You, if you looked at his face, if I just showed you his face, you would think it was like one of those times where they get the guy like radio, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's the team's lucky retard.
Yeah.
And he's like seeing a football for the first time. Like you almost expect to see him go, wow, the first time he sees a pass thrown. Look at that fly.
No, I think it's going to be a three-possession victory for the Cowboys if Sue is out. If Sue's out, I mean, they're going to be able to run the ball in such a way
Sue's
that...
Sue's a goddamn dummy. For those that don't know why Sue is probably going to stay suspended and is currently suspended for the wild card game, like, what was it, third quarter or fourth quarter? What? It was near the end of the game. He knocks over, what's his tits?
Well, Aaron Rodgers had gone out in the second quarter with a leg injury.
Okay.
So then in the fourth quarter, after knocking down Aaron Rodgers... Sue stepped on the leg that was injured earlier in the game.
Oh, but it was like behind him, right? Like, didn't he almost have to do like a cha-cha-cha backwards? Like, it was the most faked movement you've ever seen. Like, he sacks the guy, turns around, and then is like, and we're scooting.
Yeah.
He looked like a cat bearing a turd, except he's putting his cleats right in Aaron Rodgers' balls, more or less.
But yeah, like, the problem for the Dallas Cowboys, in my opinion, is... I mean, we can look ahead because we're just watching these games, but if the Dallas Cowboys now have to travel from that wildcard game to play Green Bay, I don't see them having a good shot of winning at Green Bay. That's a tough place to play. I know they have a great run offense, but come on, man. How do you think Dallas is going to play at Green Bay?
I don't know. I mean, I remember the whole belief back in the day that the frozen tundra of Lambeau was completely unassailable, and if you went up there, it was just a death sentence. I watched too many Brett Favre playoff games where he gave it up in Lambeau. It holds no sacred mystery to me anymore, man. I think it's winnable.
I like Aaron Rodgers. I like what he's doing this year. But, yeah, I think realistically, if anybody's going to upset Seattle in the playoffs this year in the NFC, it's going to be Dallas.
Dallas made them look pedestrian during the regular season. And I'm not saying that they haven't gotten a lot hotter since then, but it's not like Dallas won on the back of trick plays. It was just like, we have five ogres up front.
Yeah.
See if you can get to Tony Romo through them. You can't. It was like Space Jam. You know what I mean? Like right. Huge monsters. And there's nothing to figure out about that. It's like, did your defensive line grow 6 inches and 50 pounds each?
Yeah.
They didn't. Well, then.
Whereas the Green Bay front line is vulnerable. I think they are going to struggle once again. If we have to watch Green Bay play Seattle in the NFC Championship game, it'll be closer than that Week 1 matchup.
And they'll still lose. I feel the same way about that.
That was a 20-point gap, and the Green Bay run offense has gotten a lot better since then.
So they'll lose by 13.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It might be a single-digit defeat, but, you know. You're still a loser at that point.
Yeah.
Dallas has shown they can win at Seattle. That's a great matchup for them just because of that offensive line alone.
God, it's so many teams I hate in the postseason. God.
What sucks for you, man.
I hate it.
You really need Denver to go all the way this year. I don't think you have much else to root for, do you?
No. I hate the Patriots. I hate the Steelers. I hate the Seahawks. I hate the Cowboys. So what's left?
Yeah. I mean, you need what? Baltimore and Denver to do something. Just to get the rest of the folks out of the way in the AFC.
I'm cool with those teams.
And I think you need Green Bay. Green Bay, if they could somehow pull it out in the NFC, you'd be a happy camper.
Yeah, I'm down with Green Bay. I've never had real beef with them. The Lions would be fun.
Oh, come on.
Cardinals, of course, but like you can't... They're not going to do a damn thing.
Let's talk about that Cardinals-Panthers game. You really think the Panthers are locked to win?
Yeah, because... Have you watched the Cardinals since they lost Drew Stanton, man?
But if that defense can shut down Carolina's offense, it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, but it'll be like they'll lose 9-2 or something. You know?
But when it's a one-score game, all it takes is one fumble return or an interception return, punt return, or kick return for a touchdown to change the tide of the game.
I mean, that's true, but like without the ability to eat that time offensively, I've watched a lot of their games the last couple of weeks. Dude, their defense, it's good, but it's not some like turnover generating machine. Like, it just seemed to play fairly lights out, and then when you could put an offense on the field to complement it and actually score some points, it was a great recipe. But I don't see them pick six in motherfuckers left and right, like the 85 Bears all or right. some shit.
I'll put it to you this way. So, San Francisco 49ers, are they a better team or a worse team than the Carolina Panthers?
Oh, God. They're really close. I would say it's slightly worse. You've named very similar teams.
Arizona just played San Fran pretty tough, and they were able to score some touchdowns in that game. That's the big thing. Can Arizona's offense score touchdowns when they play at Carolina?
I don't know, man. All I know is when you are one injury away from, what's his name, Logan Thomas. Like, I don't pay attention to much college ball, but holy God, I know that guy ate ass. Holy God, do I know that man. Pretty much when Frank Beamer is out in a couple of years, Logan Thomas owes him a fruitcake. Owes him a trip to IHOP.
It's tough, because to me right now, Cam Newton isn't a contract year. If he wins his game, I think he pretty much locks a pretty big contract with Carolina.
He's motivated. He's still a lock for a decent contract.
I'm just saying this would make it a slam dunk. Yeah, this really would.
It blows my mind that people think there's some debate about him being the quarterback of the future in that place. It's like, really?
I would cut my losses with him.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, man.
I mean, I would give him the offer of what I think he's, like, worth.
We couldn't be further apart on that.
It's less than 15. He does not deserve $15 million a year. Absolutely not.
No, I could see that. I mean, if he was asking for, like, max contract, okay, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I'm not going to pay him, like, Aaron Rodgers money. But he's worth, like, 14-ish.
All right.
Something like that.
When you start getting to 17, 18, it's like, kiss the postseason goodbye.
That's a little nuts, yeah. But at the same time, the cap's going up so much in the next couple of years. You might be able to say, like, screw it, we're giving that to him.
I think
it goes up like $10 million next year, something nuts.
You can't pay him the same as Drew Brees or Matt Ryan even. You just can't. In that division, you cannot pay him on the same level as those two guys. He hasn't deserved it. He hasn't earned it.
And is it weird to you, by the way, that Rob Ryan hasn't gotten the axe yet? As of this broadcast?
It's tough. I don't know what to do about that team. I think Brees and Peyton's offense have a lot of problems. I realize that they almost passed for 5,000 yards, but there's something to be said for the fact that Brees didn't get a Pro Bowl bid despite almost passing for 5,000 yards. Some of the blame falls squarely on his shoulders.
All right, so who ultimately is your pick in that Cardinals-Panthers game?
I'm rooting for the Cardinals. I'm going to make the bias pick that they're going to pull it out at Carolina, man.
I'm putting you down for Cardinals. We will keep track of these picks. No one's ever thought about that in the history of radio, doing doing on-air picks and then keeping track of them. I feel like we're onto something here. This could be big. All right, Howard, you got anything to add, or is that it for us?
I mean, do you want to do a preliminary Super Bowl pick?
Oh, like as in we determine who is going to make it all the way?
Yeah. What's your guess this week? We're not doing picks. We're doing, like, pull one out of your ass, man. What's your Super Bowl matchup right now?
Out of my ass, Seattle in the NFC.
Yeah, I got them too right now.
And in the AFC, probably... I'll go safe, New England.
Really? Okay, yeah. I'd go Denver.
I'd kill for that.
Who are your upset picks in each conference, though? Who do you think has the most, like, the biggest chance of making a stink in each?
Steelers in the AFC.
Really?
I think the Steelers are pretty stocked, man.
I hate the Steelers so much, man.
Oh, me
I just
too.
I don't envision a world where they beat the Ravens this week. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about right
now. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I just can't even see that. To me, like, the Ravens, I would love to see a matchup in the Super Bowl between the Ravens and the Seahawks. Just a rematch of the two previous Super Bowl winners would be ridiculous.
That would be pretty tight.
And yet, here we're talking about Joe Flacco, who has in consecutive weeks lost to someone who just came off a practice squad and nearly lost this week to a guy that was just pulled off practice squad. So we're going back to back. Joe Flacco not really proving himself any different from a guy that was playing on practice squad 2 weeks ago. But, you know, he might make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's like an Eli that seems less infuriating regular season. NFC, Cowboys. That would be my screwball pick.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like...
Oh, my soul would die if they won.
Everyone would just be shocked if someone besides Green Bay, the Cowboys, or Seattle makes the Super Bowl. I
will never understand how Green Bay is this trendy pick to go all that far. I'm sorry. Like, have you not seen what, like a really good defense does to that team.
Yeah, I mean, they can't keep Aaron Rodgers off his back.
No.
He just gets hit a lot. I mean, he's mobile at least. The one thing he's got going for him is he can get out of the pocket, but you don't want him running a lot. You need him throwing the ball.
And their defense eats ass.
Their defense sucks.
For some people don't remember this for some reason.
They're a lot more confident at home. I'll give them that. That's why, like, I just don't want to see Green Bay play at Seattle because I don't think that will go well for them.
It would be a blowout. It would be a goddamn blowout by the third quarter.
That's why I got to root for Dallas to actually win some games. I got to say it, man. I don't hate Dallas as much as you, but if they actually won the Super Bowl this year, I'd say good for Tony Romo, good for DeMarco Murray, good for Antonio Bryant, good for everybody on that team, even Jason Garrett. I'm pretty ambivalent about Jerry Jones. I have a lot of like negative feelings towards him.
The only thing, and I'm saying this as a Skins fan, the only thing that would be good about Dallas winning the Super Bowl,
yeah,
is that little evil dwarf that owns our team. He loves Jerry Jones. They're like besties.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, he'll see something in the fact that Jerry Jones was shouted down on draft day from picking Johnny Manziel in the first round and got an offensive lineman, and they've put all of their picks into their offensive line lately, and suddenly it's panned out. So maybe, just maybe, this dumb little copycat will say, I'm going to do what he does. And 5 years from now, somehow, they'll have kept his little snout out of the draft room, and the Skins will have a sick offensive line, and good things will happen. That's it. That's all that can happen that's good, man.
But yeah, nah, like NFC, there's very little action there. There's three teams. A little bit more entertainment can come out of the AFC side. Like I said, there's four quarterbacks in the AFC who have Super Bowl rings.
Mm-hmm.
The two jokes the AFC are Andy Dalton and Andrew Luck for the moment. I don't think Andrew Luck will be bad in the future, but I don't think he's that good right now. So
you've said that before. I'd be happy with him on my team.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But yo, check out the offense that they run. It's a little too predictable this season. They can't run the ball, man. I don't see how they're going to make it to the Super Bowl playing like that.
You might be right. I can't say I've watched a lot of Colts ball, and we'll punch out on that for no reason whatsoever. It's maybe the least inspiring thing we could leave the show with. But there you go. This was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by my perpetual co-host, we hope. I don't know. Howard Flood. Show site is pfpod.com. Go there for every show we've ever done. If you like to do the podcast thing and not listen through the website, you just want to subscribe and listen through your phone instead, find us using Apple's podcast, Apple, or application. I said application like an old man. You can also find the Stitcher app. You can locate Papa's Football Podcast there as well, P-A-P-A apostrophe S. Also grab Papa's Basement, the comedy show that we do together. And last but not least, look up spookiescomic.com, also at thespookiescomic.com, the comic I do with a buddy of mine. I guess that's it. Howard, we'll see how the picks go, and we will be back at some point to dissect how week one, the wild card round of the playoffs, goes.
Enjoy, y'all.